Later today, several things will be said and done in honor of Brother Elvis Hufford. But I think the greatest honor that will be given to him today is these two or three front seats over here filled with his family, here to worship God. And even as we were singing, "There's Sunshine in My Soul," with the heartache that they have, they were singing that song. And I think this helps us to put death in proper focus. And I just want you to know how much I appreciate your being here. Appreciate all of you being here. Two fellows met one day. One of them said to the other, "I need you to pay me the $10 that you owe me." He said, "I don't have it." "Well," he said, "I need that $10 very badly, and I need you to pay me." He said, "I told you I don't have it." "Well," he said, "I was depending on that. I have something I have to buy, and I was depending upon that $10 to buy that." And the other fellow said, "Well, why were you depending on it?" And he said, "Well, I assumed that when I left home, I would meet you, and I assumed that you would have the $10, and I assumed that you would pay me." Whereupon the other fellow said, "While you're doing all that assuming, why don't you just assume I paid you?" Is it possible that we assume too much? A friend of mine a while back told me of a conversation that he had with an older lady. They were talking about their families, and she made the comment, "If you ask someone where his dog is, they'll say, 'Out there tied.' If you ask them where their chickens are, they'll say, 'Out in the coop.' But if you ask them where their children are, they'll say, 'I don't know.'" And he suggested when he told me that story that I ought to preach a sermon on that, and I began immediately to think, and the first passage that came to mind was the one that was read as our text this morning. Mary and Joseph supposing him to be in the company left Jesus behind and really did not know where he was. They assumed that he was with them. They supposed too much. Mary evidently was one of the best mothers that ever lived. Joseph evidently did a great job as an earthly father for Jesus. But here is one occasion where the Bible reveals one of the mistakes that they made. They did not look to see where their 12-year-old was. They assumed, they supposed, that he was with them. That caused me to think about this idea in several areas of life and to begin to look through the Word of God to see what is said or what is suggested about this. And I want to share with you this morning five passages of Scriptures, including the one that we've just mentioned, and think about some of the areas where we may very well assume too much, and see if it will help us to sort of get a handle on some things that maybe can help us in our daily lives and even help us in the work of the Lord. First of these, to which I call your attention, is in John 20, verse 15. The setting is just after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mary Magdalene is at the tomb. She has gone to see about the body of her friend, and she sees in the tomb that it's empty and is very, very emotional, as you would suspect. A little later, she looks, and the Bible says she saw Jesus. And the indication is that she saw his body form, or she saw that there was a man there. And he began to talk to her and said something to her about whom she was seeking. And she said, "Well, I'm seeking my Lord. I'm seeking Jesus. He was supposed to be in this tomb. They've killed him, and he's not there." And the Bible says that in this conversation, that she, talking to Jesus, supposed him to be the gardener. She was looking at Jesus, but she supposed him to be the gardener. I think what happened here is that she was drawing her conclusion based upon her own feelings and her own thoughts. You can imagine the emotions that were going through her mind as she realized that something had happened to the body of her friend and she could not find him. And maybe even believing that he was the Lord, but not understanding all that was involved, she was concerned about where his body was, And now she is talking to Jesus, but she doesn't really look at him to see him for what he is. She doesn't get all the facts that she needs to know. She's basing her conclusions on her emotions and on her feelings. She's not the first one to do that. Naaman in 2 Kings 5:11 said, "Behold, I thought that God's man would come and have a great ceremony and lay his hands on me and heal me of my leprosy." Paul said at Acts 26, verse 9, that he said, "I thought that it was right for me to persecute the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth." He said, "I thought this is what I ought to do." He was basing upon the conclusion that he had drawn based upon his own thinking and his own feelings without really looking at all that was involved. In Luke 19:11, it's indicated that there were people who thought that the kingdom was coming right at that very moment, on that very day. They thought it was going to be immediate because they were not listening to what Jesus said, and they were basing their conclusion upon their feelings. Many religious errors will be taught and practiced today in the world because people are drawing their conclusions based upon their feelings. Many times, particularly when I was working in Middle Tennessee, I had someone say, "I know I'm a Christian because I feel it right here." They'd come to a conclusion. They were supposing that everything was okay, but basing that conclusion only on the feelings and the thoughts that they had. We need to be reminded that the wise man said in Proverbs 14:12 and again in 16:25, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The second passage I would point out to you today is in that beloved chapter of Acts 2. You know the occasion where the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles and empowered them to preach God's word that day where people could understand it. It was an amazing event, no doubt. And the people who were witnessing this and seeing what happened to the apostles thought that the apostles were drunk. Look at verse 15. Peter stood up and said, "Folks, these men are not drunk as ye suppose." They're not drunk as ye suppose. The people assumed they were from what they saw. Peter said they were not. What's the point for us? The idea is that too many times we draw our conclusions based only on outward appearance. These people didn't know what was happening in reality. They did not know what was on the inside of the minds of these apostles as they were being inspired to teach, and particularly as Peter was going to speak on this occasion. They just looked at what they could see outwardly, and they drew the conclusion that these people are drunk. We have a problem with that many times, of just looking on the outward appearance. Most of our prejudices that we harbor in our hearts come about because we look at a person's nationality or race or background or set of circumstances in life, or we look at how a person is dressed, and maybe even listen to some of the things that are said, but do not really listen to what's coming from the heart, and we draw our conclusion, this is such and such a type of person because this is what we see. This is what happened on this occasion. They assumed that because of what they were seeing, that these people were drunk. Remember the statement in 1 Samuel 16:7, when a king was being selected, that it says that man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart? Perhaps sometimes that passage is abused to suggest that the outward appearance doesn't make any difference, and that's not what was intended there, and that's not what we're intending to say this morning. The outward appearance does make a difference. But what was said there and what is being said now is that we should not come to the final conclusion about anything just by looking at the outward appearance. James warned in James 2, chapter that's being studied in the auditorium class right now on Sunday mornings, that we need to be careful when a person comes into the assembly in goodly apparel and here comes in a poor man who's not dressed as well. And he said, if you tell that person who's dressed so well, sit in the choice seats and put the one who's not in a seat that's considered not to be choice, he said, you're showing the respect of persons, and that ought not so to be. In 1 Peter 3, After talking about many of the outward characteristics of the appearance of a wife, he emphasizes the inward man that is possible to be used to win her husband to Jesus Christ. Jesus addressed this in Matthew 15, for example. And he said, you need to understand that what comes out of the mouth is something that comes from the heart. And that's what really defiles the man. He was saying, if you will listen and listen closely, you will see something of what's on the inside of that person, and that's what the real person is. Folks, I believe many of our problems today, particularly in human relationships, are brought about because we jump to conclusions based upon outward appearance only. Now, in the third place, let's go back to our text in Luke 2. Mary and Joseph supposed him to be in the company. Folks, are we assuming too much with our younger generation? Are we supposing that everything's like it ought to be when it is not? I still believe that a parent ought to know where his child is. I still believe that parents ought to know what their children know and what they don't know. And even in the church, we make a mistake if we assume that every generation is automatically going to understand the gospel and all about it without the proper teaching and encouragement and training. Are we assuming too much? Back to the little story I told you earlier, is it possible sometimes we're allowing ourselves to be more concerned about where the dog is and where the chickens are than where the children are? And I would pause long enough in passing here that sometimes the problem is not the parents knowing where the children are, it's the children knowing where the parents are. And he goes in that direction too. But folks, are we assuming too much? Do we just suppose that these things are going to happen? Do we suppose that our boys and girls are going to grow up and have happy marriages without teaching them anything about relationships between men and women and what God has said in his divine marriage manual? Are we going to suppose that our young people will know how to defend the plan of salvation and how we worship God and the basic teachings of the New Testament church if we don't teach? And particularly as parents, if we don't sit down and come to an understanding of whether or not they do know these things and understand these and how to use them? Train up a child in the way he should go, Proverbs 22:6. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And folks, that's not done in one sitting. That's not accomplished overnight. God said of Abraham in Genesis 19:18, I know that he will instruct his children in my ways. I know he will. And even in the law of God, in Deuteronomy 6:5-7, he was telling the parents, you talk to your children about my precepts when you get up in the morning, when you're going about your activities in the day, when you sit down, when you're getting ready to go to bed at night. In other words, he said, for all of your time, you realize how important it is to instruct your children and rear them and train them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Are we assuming too much? The fourth passage I would call to your attention is in Acts 16:27. You know the story of the conversion of the Philippian jailer. You remember just after the earthquake happened that he saw the doors were opened, and the 27th verse said, supposing the prisoners had escaped, he was about to take his life. Now the reason for his considering taking his life was he was accountable for these prisoners with his life. And if they did escape, it was possible that he would be put to death for allowing them to escape. And so he just wanted to beat them to that. And you know the rest of the story, how Paul spoke to him and eventually taught him, and eventually he and his family became Christians. I want you to concentrate on that one verse for just a moment. He was about to take his life, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. They had not. They were there close enough that Paul could immediately talk to him. Probably close enough that if he'd looked in the right direction, he could have seen them, but he was looking at the open door to the prisoner, to the prison, and he decided, since that door's open, the prisoners are gone. Therefore, I'm accountable, and was about to take his life. He was assuming that they had escaped. And here's the lesson. Jump into conclusions before all the facts are in. Not long ago on TEL, the little message that we have, I had the statement that some people get their exercise mainly by jumping to conclusions. And there's a lot of truth in that. And we're not pointing a finger at anybody except ourselves. I think all of us have this problem. We jump to conclusions. Elijah had the problem in 1 Kings 19. He said, I'm the only one left. Twice, verse 10, verse 14 in that chapter. He said, let me die. I'm the only one left. He'd been run away by the problems associated with Jezebel, and you can understand why he would be concerned, but he said, I'm the only one. God said, oh, well, wait a minute. I've got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to Baal. Sometimes we may jump to conclusions in mission work. Think, well, people won't listen. We've preached, we've taught, we've tried, and people won't listen. Maybe sometime we need to be reminded that on that occasion, God said, I've got 7,000 who are still possibilities out there. You need to turn around and get back and do my work. No wonder we find the Bible teaching us to prove all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, to examine ourselves and prove ourselves, 2 Corinthians 13:5. Many times we might come to different conclusions if we do a thorough examination and find the proof. Most of you are aware if you're working a mathematical problem, you get one factor out of place and it can throw the answer off. And many times when we listen to rumors and gossip and we jump to conclusions about what's happening before we get the facts, we may be assuming too much and not really looking at the situation. And then there is Acts 14:19. This is an occasion where some people came from one place and decided to kill Paul. And they stoned him, and according to this verse, dragged him outside the city, supposing him to be dead. Now, we're thankful that he was not. But I want you to get the point here. They thought they had accomplished their goal without seeing it through. They assumed that the job that they intended to do was done, and it wasn't. They assumed that when they stoned Paul, they had killed him, and when they dragged him outside the city, that he was dead, but he wasn't. They did not see their job through. They did not see their goal accomplished because they quit too soon. Oh, how often do we do that? He that endureth to the end shall be saved, Matthew 10:22. And that's not intended to suggest that we're saved by merit and we add up so many brownie points. That's not the idea at all. It's the idea that we keep on keeping on living the Christian life. Luke 14:28, he talked about the man who goes out here to build something and finds out he doesn't have enough to finish it, and he just leaves a foundation there, and his people go by and look, well, what happened? This man didn't see his job through. I wonder how many times in the work of the church, God looks at the programs that we put on paper and start and sees the foundation left there sort of like that man's house because we didn't see it through. Or because we took the idea that somebody will do it or let George do it, even though it was something assigned to me or to you, we sort of thought, well, somebody else will do it, and anybody's business is nobody's business and usually doesn't get done. How many times in the work of the church do we assume that it's going to be okay, that it'll be done, that it will be accomplished, without really continuing to be on the job and there to see that the end result is what it ought to be? It was only after Paul said, I'm ready to be offered, that he said, I've finished the course. Now, let me say that again. It was only after he said, I'm ready to be offered, in other words, his death was imminent, that he said, I have finished the course. In 2 Timothy 4:7-8. And whether it be in our families, our personal jobs, the work of the church, whatever it is, When we assume that something's going to be done just because we got it started and we think somebody will do it, very probably we're going to leave that foundation of the building out there for people to see and realize that we did not see it through. Do we assume too much when we base our conclusions on our feelings, judge from the outward appearance, think everything's all right with the younger generation when we don't really do what we need to do to know? Are we supposing too much when we jump to conclusions before all the facts are in? Or think that we have accomplished the job without seeing it through? I believe many of our daily problems in our lives come right back to where we are in this lesson. Jesus, in talking about parables in Matthew 13, 15, said, "This people's heart is waxed gross, their eyes they have closed, their ears are dull of hearing, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand in their hearts and be converted, and I should heal them." Folks, we need to open our eyes to see. We need to open our ears to hear. We need to open our hearts to understand and do less supposing and assuming, and with God's help, see things through in the Christian life. And I think sometimes even as far as our relationship to God and our looking forward to going to heaven, we do too much assuming. You and I can know if we're Christians, if we'll get all the facts and know whether or not we've done them. We can go to this book and see him telling us to believe, repent, confess, be baptized, live the Christian life. You and I can know if we're doing that, and we can have the assurance. We don't have to assume. We can have the assurance, not based on our judgment, based on his judgment. When we've gone astray, we can come back, and we can have the assurance that our sins are forgiven. If the Bible that teaches us that there is a God teaches us he'll forgive, can we not believe that? And can we not believe as we live day by day that his blood will keep on cleansing our sins and keep us clean even though we are imperfect and fall short if we hold on to him as our Savior, as humble, penitent Christian followers, disciples? I believe, folks, we may assume too much. But you don't have to assume your relationship with God. You can know what it is, and if you have not obeyed him, if you're not living for him, you can come to him right now. As together we stand and sing. Free Christ, Lord.